Hello, I'm Neil Edgler, and this is Talk About English from BBC Learning English. Today's programme is all about memory. What's your earliest memory? Do you have a good memory? And how can you improve your memory to help you study English? To help me answer all these questions, I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Ashok Jansari, an expert in memory from the University of East London.
Hello, thank you for having me here.
And also we'll hear from Louis, a caller to the programme from Spain, about her earliest memories.
My earliest memory was probably when I was around 4 years old.
We'll have our usual word facts throughout the programme. And joining in the discussion today is Amber Barnfather, who works here at BBC Learning English. Hi, Amber. Have you got a good memory?
Hi, Neil. Well, it's good for song lyrics and poetry and very bad at numbers.
All of that and more in today's Talk About English. We're going to start off talking about very early memories. Amber, what are your very earliest memories?
I have a very strong memory of the first time I could swim on my own. I can remember the sort of silky, cool feeling of the water and just that fantastic sensation, that fantastic feeling of not having anybody hold me.
Do you know how old you were?
I think I must have been about 6 or 7.
I've got a very early memory myself. I moved to Canada when I was a child, 3 years old, and I remember the morning that we left, but the only thing I can remember, for some reason, is the pattern of the bedspread that I was sleeping under. It was a sort of purple checked pattern, and that's all I remember about the day. I don't remember flying or going to the airport or anything else, and I'm hoping that our guest Ashok will be able to tell us a little bit about these things. But before we start, we have our first word fact.
Word facts.
Our first word is memory. M-E-M-O-R-Y. Memory. Memory is the ability to remember things. In this case, it's an uncountable noun.
What are we doing on Saturday again?
I've told you 100 times we're going to visit Bill and the kids. Honestly, your memory's terrible.
Memory is also a countable noun. It means something, such as an event, you remember from the past.
Did you have a happy childhood?
Oh yes, I've got lots of beautiful memories of summers on the beach.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
Our guest on the programme today is Dr. Ashok Jansari, who's a lecturer in psychology and whose special interest and expertise is human memory. Welcome to the programme, Ashok.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I'd like to know how you got interested in this subject.
I got interested in the subject in a rather odd way because I was hating my studies and I was trying to change from one subject to another. While I was doing that, someone suggested experimental psychology. And I sat there and thought, what's this going to be like? And in the second lecture, the lecturer talked about people who couldn't remember things that happened yesterday. And I thought, how's that happening? Because I've got a good memory. And then she talked about people who, after a certain form of brain damage, couldn't tell you that the thing that was sitting there that was meowing and furry wasn't a cat. And so I got really turned on to this idea of brain damage and how that informs us about how we function. And so I've become a cognitive neuropsychologist whereby I study people with brain damage to try to work out how we function and then hopefully to use the knowledge that we've acquired for rehabilitation.
We've heard some examples already today about some very early memories. And they seem to be quite random. There doesn't seem to be any obvious reason for them. Why do we remember certain things and not others?
Quite an enigma, really. I think one of the important things with early memories is that as very young children, we don't have the cognitive structures to actually lay down what we call a memory. So if you ask a 2-year-old child what the child is doing, they don't have the capacity to put that information together. But at about the age of 4, maybe, these structures start developing, and it's from that you're able to lay down memories. Now, of course, this will differ from one child to another, and the environment they're in terms of the way that information is brought out by their teachers, their parents, how they're questioned. And some of the things that seem to underlie how we can remember things are emotional things, first-time things, unusual. And I heard from both of you, Amber talked about the first time that she can remember swimming. You talked about moving. And moving is, at that age, is obviously a first-time thing. Amber talked about the emotions and the sensations that she was feeling. And I think with you, the bedspread is an interesting thing because the emotionality of the event somehow opens up your attention. You're not aware of it, and it captures information, and it does so in a random way. And we're still trying to work out how that happens. But so I'd say unusual things, taking a skydive, doesn't happen every day unless you're a skydive instructor, right. First-time event, and very emotional things.
Ashok, Neil asked me earlier, did I have a good memory or a bad memory? And why is it, do you think, that some people can remember more than others?
Unfortunately, memory, or maybe fortunately, is a skill. Just like someone who's very good at writing poetry, someone who's good at dancing, someone who's good at running. It just so happens that in the kind of society we live in, we talk a lot to one another, and a lot of talking involves talking about things that happened in the past. And so this thing called memory has become this special thing. But we don't usually say, I'm a good dancer or I'm a bad dancer. It's just that it's become a currency that's very important. So it's a skill, and some people practice it more than others. Another thing is that you talked about the fact that you're good at song lyrics, but you said that you weren't good at math. And it seems that there are some things that we're okay with saying it's good to be good at some things and not good to be good at other things. So I think that we've also got to remember that there isn't one thing called memory. Memory is lots and lots of different things. And you've just got to see people with brain damage to see how this varies a lot. And so I think memory is a big thing, and we're good at different aspects of it.
And that brings us on to our next word fact.
Word facts.
Next, some memory expressions. First, to jog somebody's memory. Jog is spelt J-O-G. To jog someone's memory means to give them a little bit of information to remind them about something.
Haven't you got something for me?
What do you mean?
Well, let me just jog your memory. It's October the 15th today. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I've never forgotten your birthday before. Oh!
If someone can remember something in exact detail, we say they've got a photographic memory, because it's like a photo. And if someone can remember things for a very long time, we say they've got a memory like an elephant.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
You're listening to Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com. In this programme, we've been talking about memory. We've just heard the expression to jog someone's memory. And it's strange how sometimes a certain song, as Amber said, or a smell can jog your memory and bring back certain memories. Why does that happen, Ashok? Why do songs or smells bring back, jog those memories?
The reason is because memory is a very multifaceted thing, and we usually think about the visuals of memory. But when we're experiencing something, there's a smell to what we're experiencing, there's a taste, there's a sound. It's just that because we tend to be very visual, we tend to remember the visuals. And in your little word fact there, the idea of photographic memory was mentioned. Now, children seem to have a photographic memory. The technical term is eidetic memory. And studies have shown that if you show a young child a picture or a drawing and ask them to describe it, they'll describe it in minute detail. Whereas if you show an adult the same picture, they'll tend to recap what's in the picture. So we start off with this visual memory, and it seems that it's something that changes over time and we become much more verbal in the way we remember. But that doesn't mean that those other senses aren't important. And a classic example is, I think, in the book On the Remembrance of Things Past, the character talks about a smell of a scone, I think it is, that his aunt made many, many years ago. And smell, for some reason, seems to be this incredibly evocative part of memory, but it's just not researched as much as verbal memory or visual memory. So I think there are many different aspects of memory, and we can use different aspects of it to jog our memory.
Ashok, I'm wondering, are photographs a reliable way of jogging your memory? I'm asking this because I think I have a memory of a swing that we had in our garden and me standing up on it and swinging. But actually, I've seen an old black and white photograph, and I'm not sure if it really is a memory or if I'm just stimulated by the photograph.
That's a really interesting question, because one thing that I say to my students is that once upon a time, we used to think that memory was like a series of pictures and a set of like a filing cabinet that we create. What did we do on Tuesday? What did we do on Wednesday? And on Friday, if you ask, what did you do on Tuesday? You go into your filing system and pick out what happened on Tuesday and you read it off. But we've actually realized that memory is not like that at all. Memory is reconstructive. So really what you're doing is you're trying to work out what could have happened. And most of the time, it actually works. But if you've met people who suffer from something called confabulation, they come out with memories that never happened at all. And that's because that system of recreating memories is not functioning properly. And so they come out with bizarre memories. So I had a patient that I worked with who thought that he'd been the commander of a space shuttle and thought that he was an alien abductee. And he talked about it with great passion that it really happened. So it shows us that memory is a reconstructive thing. Now, what in your case, you've been shown this photograph, you remember being on a swing, and you'll be putting those things together. And then what happens is that your memory system then recreates that image of what could have been, and it stores it. Next time, you're trying to remember it, and you've got this image of yourself on the swing, which may not have happened when you were 5 years old. And it's a controversial issue, because some people say that this may, and I'm not an expert on this, this may underlie false memory syndrome that happens with young children, etc. But as I say, I'm not an expert on false memory syndrome.
Well, earlier on, I spoke to a listener called Louis, who comes from the town of Jaén in Spain. Hello, Louis. Welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Where are you from?
I'm from Jaén, which is in the south of Spain.
We're talking today about memories, and I want to ask you, what's your earliest memory?
Well, my earliest memory was probably when I was around 4 years old. And it's quite a strange memory, because I was like eating, and I remember I was eating chicken soup, and I was watching the news with my father, with my mother, and with my brother. And I think that there was something about a kidnap or something like that on the news. And there suddenly the phone rang, and I was very scared, and I started crying.
That's a very interesting memory. I wonder why you can remember that in particular. Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. One, I think that probably is because I love the T-shirt I was wearing. It was red with, I think it was a strawberry, and I remember that for a long time it was my favorite T-shirt. Perhaps it is one kind of thing that I remember to wear that T-shirt in that moment, because perhaps it was the first time I was wearing it or something like that.
I see.
Because I have no idea about.
Do you have any other memories connected to that T-shirt?
Yeah, I was playing in a park as well, and I fell down.
Is there anything in particular you remember from your early school days?
I remember my first afternoon lesson was to paint a chicken, always chicken to present, and I remember that I was talking with all my partners and I didn't finish on time, and my teacher punished me when stay there till I finish it. And I remember that I was crying because I was scared that I was going to be there all night and whatever.
And what time did you go home eventually?
I think that 15 minutes later or something like that.
Well, Louis, it's been very interesting speaking to you about your memories. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now it's time for our final word fact.
Word facts.
Our next word is to memorise. M-E-M-O-R-I-S-E. To memorise. Be careful, because in North America, it's spelt with a Z and not an S. To memorise is a regular verb. To memorise something means to learn it so that you remember it exactly.
What's 6 times 6?
Are you joking? Didn't you have to memorise your times tables at school?
If you remember something exactly because you've memorised it, we can say you've committed it to memory. It means you can do something from memory. It means to do it without referring to instructions.
Can you pass me the map?
You must be able to get to work from memory by now. You've been working there for 3 months.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
Are you any good at memorising things, Ember?
Well, I can remember words on a page. I can read a 200-page novel, and then when I finish it, I think, I really like that bit about such and such, and I can find it. I will remember which side of the page and whereabouts on the page that it was. So I think somehow I can see it in my mind.
With me, if I just sit down and try to remember a list of things, I'm completely useless. But if I try to associate what I'm trying to remember with something memorable, I'm often more successful. So, for example, I'm trying to learn Japanese. The word in Japanese for foot or leg is ashi. Now, the character itself looks like a little man with a big foot, so that's easy to remember. But the word itself, ashi, the way I remember that is because it sounds like the English name Ashley, and there's the footballer Ashley Cole, and so foot, ashy, Ashley Cole, and I can remember it. But that seems like a lot of information to remember when it would just be simpler just to sit and study it. So why does that work that way, Ashok?
We all have different strategies for learning, but the classic ones tend to be organisation of information. So if you've got a list of words to remember, group them by, for example, the animals and the fruits. And if you start grouping, then that helps you later on because you use these groups or categories as cues. If you're buying things, what are the things you want to buy for food? What are the things that you want to buy from the hardware store? So organization of information is very important. The next thing is encoding the information, so actually using it in a way that's going to make it more memorable. And I like your ashi example, because what I was going to suggest is to, when I was learning Italian, for example, mm-hmm. I did very like you, try to find something in English that would allow me to remember this word. And we use that in the short term, but it's only for the short term. In the long run, you've actually got to use it properly. And there is work that's shown that the more you use it and the more different ways you use it, the more likely you are to remember it. And then finally, there's something called the mnemonics, which the ancient Greeks used to use. These mm-hmm. men used to stand up and talk for hours, and they'd memorize these speeches. And they were using particular tricks of visualizing themselves walking through a particular area and leaving bits of memory in these different areas and then walking through and picking them up as they went through their speech. So there's a number of different strategies. Your one was a good one.
And that bell means we only have time left for a quick recap.
60-second recap.
Spell memory.
M-E-M-O-R-Y. Memory.
What's the verb which means to try to remember something in exact detail?
To memorise. To memorise.
What expression means to remind someone of something?
To jog someone's memory. To jog someone's memory.
If you can remember something exactly as it is, we say you have a what memory?
A photographic memory. A photographic memory.
Well, that's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank our guest, Ashok Jansari, and our caller, Louis. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to listen again next week at bbclearningenglish.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.